Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The blessed Apostle Paul says to us in the epistle today that some words kill, while others give life. There is a ministry of the law, of the old Mosaic covenant, a ministry of death carved in letters of stone that came with God's fearful vision of his glory on Mount Sinai. St. Paul calls it a ministry of condemnation. By the work of God's law, the sinner is punished. Murderers are put to death under the law. In Numbers chapter 15, the law given to Moses went to such an extent that even a man caught gathering sticks on the Sabbath day was worthy of death by stoning. A penalty that says working on the Sabbath and not paying attention to God's word was the equivalent of murdering someone, not to mention committing adultery and blasphemy. As far as the law of God is concerned, the whole world is guilty. It's a ministry of death carved in cold, hard letters of stone. It is God's word to us, hard as it is. Who then can be saved? Because don't we all pick up sticks on the Sabbath? Not a jot or a tittle of the law will perish, says Jesus. So some try to evade the sternness of the law by trying to change the words, or twist their clear meaning, or tone them down, make them more palatable, more doable. But this is merely to add one sin upon another. The law is God's law. It is holy. The commandments are truly holy and righteous and good. It is my sin and your sin against those commandments which makes the commandments meant to give life to be my death and your death. Just before our gospel today of the healing of the deaf-mute man in Mark chapter 7, we find the Pharisees coming to Jesus and his disciples and criticizing them for their eating habits. Why don't your disciples, Jesus, wash their hands properly before eating a meal, as we say they ought to according to the law of Moses? Wash your hands. Those words hit close to home nowadays. Wash your hands. Wear your masks. Stand 6 feet away from anyone. Back then, the purpose was to be super observant of the Mosaic law. Today, it is because we are being made to feel that everyone you even come near unto could be a purveyor to you of death and disease. Sometimes, when all the do's and don'ts from health departments and governors come crashing down, one wonders if one may be stoned to death for picking up sticks, or maybe not wearing your mask properly. The point being that words mean something. They mean a lot. Some words kill. Some words kill the body. Some kill the soul. Some kill hope and happiness in people. Many times words are well-intentioned, but nevertheless kill hope, kill faith, kill trust. They just plain kill. I fear we've had too much of that ministry of condemnation for the last 7 or more months. I feel it in many of you. The law is a weight. It's a hard and a heavy burden to bear. The law, when it is used to keep people in line, like the Pharisees hoped to, even though they had a well-intentioned purpose, maybe, like their Pharisaic attempts to please God, because they wanted to entice God to get rid of the Romans and prevent God from bringing about another exile of God's people. Or, in today's case, the worthy ideal of seeking to prevent a plague from spreading. they nevertheless do in reality. Words of the law condemn people in body and spirit. They do not bring life. Sinners will never follow the law perfectly. The words of the law may have glory for a time, St. Paul says, but what once had glory has come to have no glory at all. The law's glory is something that we can do as imperfect people to make ourselves better and fix our own problems has indeed been brought to an end, he says, and never has truly existed since the fall into sin by our first parents. Jesus would go on to say to the Pharisees and his disciples, "Hear me, all of you, and understand. There is nothing outside a person that by going into him can defile him. But the things that come out of a person are what defile him. For from within, out of the heart of man, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within, and they defile a person. You'll know a good tree because its fruits will be good. A bad tree produces bad fruit. You may honor me with your lips, Jesus says to the Pharisees, but your heart is far from me. The evil we speak and do comes from our cold heart and gives us a mouth inherently mute to God's praises and ears inherently deaf to God's word. You do not speak rightly after all when your heart is full of condemnation of others around you, but you fail to recognize your own sinful, diseased condition. You'd cast the first stone as if you were without sin and never cast a word of love or hope to your neighbor if left to your cold, stony, sin-corrupted heart. The ministry of the law laid hold on the stick gatherer and stoned him. The letter carved in stone kills. But there has always been another word from God, another great and holy word, with an all-surpassing glory that never fades, a glory that is permanent. The Spirit giveth life. The old covenant brought death and condemnation to the murderer and for the guilt of every other sin that comes from within sinful man. But the gospel, the ministry of the Spirit, when it lays hold on a murderer, enlightens and brings hope and gives life. St. John Chrysostom preached in the fourth century, quote, "The gospel, the ministry of the Spirit, St. Paul speaks of, takes hold on thousands of homicides and robbers, and baptizing them delivers them from their former vices. The former, that ministry of the law, makes its captives dead from being alive. The latter, the ministry of the gospel, renders the man it has convicted alive from being dead. For come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and Jesus said not, I will punish you, but he said, I will give you rest. For in baptism the sins are buried, the former things are blotted out, and the man is made alive and anew. And the entire grace of God is written upon his heart. The Spirit in his ministry of the gospel, friends, makes men alive, gives them open ears to hear the saving word, loosed tongues to sing God's praises, confess his saving name to the neighbor next to him. The Spirit making alive does not mean that we give a new content to God's word that somehow makes the law more plausible or more doable to me. It means instead that the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death. Through repentance and turning in faith to Christ as Lord and Savior, the ungodly, the deaf, the blind, the lame, the mute, the demon-possessed, the murderer, the adulterer, the blasphemer are saved by grace through faith for Christ's sake. They're covered by his righteousness that he won for them by his holy death and his glorious resurrection. You, being made new by the Holy Spirit, are given the forgiveness of sins, brought into the holy Christian church, the ark that saves you from the morass of this world, into a communion of saints, guaranteed the resurrection of the body, and drawn forward towards everlasting life. At the same time, the Spirit works in you and creates a new heart within, a new treasury of right words from God to confess and to sing, out of which you can bring forth that which is good, a good tree that brings forth good fruit. Good fruit, words of light and life and health, faith and hope and love, words your neighbor needs to hear. Jesus, by his word, desires to heal you of your spiritual affliction, just as by his word he healed the tongue and ears of that deaf, mute man. The Pharisees needed to be healed themselves. Jesus heals the man who had nothing to give, nothing to offer. Man's words are ineffectual and powerless, and the deaf and the demon-possessed cannot hear them. There is no glory for the Pharisees of this life, no glory for trying to fix things with the law and our works of the law. Ultimately, God's Spirit must work and fix us and make us whole and new again. And God's word of the gospel, the news of reconciliation on account of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, is mighty and powerful to do just that. It is the powerful means by which God opens ears, removes spiritual deafness. Just as at the beginning the Lord God created man through his word and gave him soul and eyes, ears, reason, and all senses so that he would become a living soul, so also he wishes by his word to purvey the sin-sick man spiritual life, to renew him and open his tongue and ears so that he becomes a spiritual man. That's the way our Lord works. His miracles come daily through his word and his spirit working in you and me and people around us. The healed deaf mute man is described by the evangelist as speaking plainly when he was healed. But really, the word used is orthos. He now speaks rightly. Both God's law and God's gospel, rightly understood as revealed to us from God's word, are orthos. They are right words. They speak to us. We do well to listen to them. And God in his mercy opens our ears to hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them by the power of his Holy Spirit, and ever to hold fast to them in the hope of eternal life. Then we go out, and we sing them, and we pray them back to God, and outwards towards our neighbors. Orthos doxos, orthodoxy, right praises. By God's grace, may he grant to you to use these righteous words rightly, and to sing the right praises of God, that law which guides you and shows you your need for your Savior from sin and death, that calls you daily to repentance, and the blessed work of the gospel to comfort and cheer you, to lift your burdens, to give you rest in Jesus. Here today, at this altar, and at the hope and the assurance of an oncoming tomorrow in heaven's glory. God grant that day to come soon. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Now the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus.